Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Welcome to it. To Drive, Big Al and D-Mac. D-Mac's out. Orlando Franklin, Big O, is sitting in with me. And it's done. It's official. You can give us a text on our ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And give us your reaction. Your first-round draft pick has been demoted to third team on the depth chart at quarterback. And Orlando, I want to ask you, with the improvement to the second team for Chad Kelly, does that mean that Chad Kelly is our backup quarterback, or does that mean now we're going shopping for a backup quarterback?
It all depends on how he plays. He's going to get a great opportunity this week to get evaluated. He's going to have two practices against the Chicago Bears, and then he's also going to get to go and get those game time reps.
Okay.
So I think after this week, we're going to be able to say, hey, if he does good, hey, let's continue to develop Chad Kelly, and he can be our second string quarterback. If something, God forbid, something happens to Case Keenum, we could put him in there, and the guys will believe in him, but all, as an organization, we stand behind him and believe in him also. Or he's going to go out there and he's not going to look good. And then if that's the case, we're going to have to go shopping.
Well, you know, we always talk about your teams that involve Tim Tebow around here as, I call it laughable, what was going on at the quarterback position, because I didn't see how you could win football games when you're
man. When the AFC West.
I hear you. I didn't understand. Thank you.
Second round in the playoffs.
Yeah, I never believed in that team because it felt like it was all smoke and mirrors. And
but Tebow made us believe.
Hold on, did he make you believe?
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, I always believed that we were in the game. But that's the
did
thing.
Did you really? Did you really? I mean, knowing
that
he
was not just because of Tim Tebow. I like Tim Tebow's passion. Did I think Tim Tebow could throw the ball? Absolutely not. But I also, what I did like, but what also a lot of people don't realize that our defense was lights out.
Right.
Our defense is the one that kept us in the game all game. We had great special teams play and great defensive play. So we were winning games 13-12. Like it wasn't like we were going out there scoring 35 points. I mean,
we led the league in rushing also.
So that was great.
Well, I mean, when your quarterback can do nothing but run the football,
yeah,
it just gives you another
about 600
rusher.
Yards, yeah.
Did you believe that you could win football games every time you played?
I believed we had an opportunity, and that was because Tim Tebow just made you believe. Like how he came in the huddle. Come on, guys. Like, we got this. Like, he made you believe. And then you also seen how the defense was playing.
Right.
And we were always in the game points-wise because nobody was really coming in and dropping 35 points on our defense.
Right.
It wasn't going to take us to win, score a bunch of touchdowns to win a football game.
Contrast that to when you got Peyton Manning. How was that huddle when he walked into the huddle?
Stressful.
Why so?
Stressful in two aspects. One, I remember in 2011, in the, or 2012, I remember we were in Miami. Me and Clady, we were just in Miami. We were partying that weekend, hanging out in Miami. It's during the offseason. We're hanging out. And Peyton makes the decision that, hey, I'm going to be a Bronco. I'm going to sign with the Denver Broncos. We're getting ready to leave Miami. We're literally walking to our flight, and it comes up on the TV. And me and Clady are high-fiving each other, talking about, oh, man, this is great. Football's going to be so easy. Big Al, it wasn't. Football became so much harder when Peyton Manning got here. He was a leader amongst men. I mean, he elevated everybody that was around him. And, I mean, it did me great, I mean, but I lost a lot of sleep. because I at first it was, hey, can this guy take a hit? He's coming off this neck injury.
Gotcha.
I mean, I don't want to miss my block. And I was out there playing very timid until I think it was Zane or I think it was J.D. Walton gave up a sack. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's good. He could actually get hit still. It's fine. Like, and then I was able to implement a lot of other things in my game as far as jump setting,
right,
as far as cutting the defensive end and stuff like that. So it made it stressful in the aspect. I didn't know if he could take a hit. But once I saw he could take a hit and he jumped back up, I was more like, okay, I have all my tools again as an offensive lineman. I could do whatever I want to this defensive end.
Let me ask you this then. We'll talk about that leadership when you start talking about Tim Tebow. What was the leadership like with Peyton? Was it, I'm just talking about the huddle. I'm just talking about types of huddle. You've said that made you believe. Was Peyton the same way, or did you just knew the execution was going to be there?
Yeah, you just understood the execution was going to be there, and Peyton.
And y'all put up so many points.
Yeah, that was the thing. Peyton would get on you, too. Hey, if you're not doing the right thing, we had this
thing. Did he ever get on the offensive lineman?
Absolutely. We used to watch team as an offense. And literally, they would give him a script, and the coaches would call out players, hey, Orlando messed up on this play, he should be doing this. And we'd watch team as a whole offense, and this was what made us so accountable to each other, because Peyton would have the script of what all the coaches' notes on the game the day before, and the coaches wouldn't be in the meeting room, and we would watch a play, and you were encouraged, or you had to speak up if you messed something up.
And oh, wait a minute. Where were the coaches?
The coaches would be, I don't know what they're doing, drinking coffee or something. we literally watched the film and graded each other as a unit, as a whole offense in one room.
Oh, my goodness, that sounds so cool, because now you got total accountability. And,
yeah.
Peyton ran, he called a call,
yeah,
ran the play, and if something went wrong, you would say.
He'd sit there and rewind it until you spoke up. And then if you did not speak up, he'd be like, hey, oh, or hey, Clady, Coach Magazoo wrote down that you should be doing this. Like, what are you thinking on this play? And you had to be accountable to your teammate. It made people that much better, though. It made us all better. Like, we understood more about the game. Like, you didn't always need the coaching. You could coach yourself up at this point. And you knew what we were trying to get accomplished.
That must have been a real enlightenment for you, because I don't know if I've ever been in a room where the film and call it the linebacker or the quarterback has basically run the meeting as a normal review of the film. That for you, it must have been like, if there was a bad play, he got me on the arm over right there. I'm sorry about that, man. I mean, it's got to be, that must have been. That team must have been the tightest team you've ever been on.
Yeah, that's how we watched film the whole time I was here when we got Peyton. And, I mean, as a player, it made me so much better of a player, because now I understood all the concepts. And that's another thing that Peyton brought that made it a little frustrating, a little stressful, was the ability that it didn't matter if it was week 8 in the game, in the season. It didn't matter if it was week 8 and this a play was not put on the play on the playbook for that week and in the game plan. Peyton had the ability to go to any play that he wanted to, so you had to always be in your playbook, and you had to understand. And it's not like Peyton is going to a play that you haven't ran in 10 weeks and then you're able to ask, hold on, what is that? No, he's checking to that play on the line of scrimmage, and you might have never ran it in 10 weeks, and he's saying Omaha set hut. And that ball's being snapped, and you better know what's going on.
Right, right. A different kind of stress for the offensive line. With that being said,
but it made us accountable at the same time.
With that being said, when you have a quarterback who's consistently struggled like Paxton Lynch did, what would that do to you as an offensive lineman?
I mean, it's just, I would not have faith in a guy like Paxton.
Like, where is he going to be when he sets up to pass? Does he escape left? Does he escape right? We had a problem here with Trevor Siemian, with him always floating in the pocket. I mean, yeah. I don't know how you block that if you're an offensive tackle. So
your back is always turned to these quarterbacks. So you want a guy that's going to be a consistent player back there, because as an offensive lineman, this is a passing league. So you're always backpedaling. You don't know where that quarterback is. You just know where he's supposed to be. The center and the guards, they need to keep that pocket flat so that quarterback can step up.
Got you.
The tackles need to run those defensive ends around that quarterback at about 7 to 8 yards deep in the backfield.
Now, I love the way that you said that, because it says that you have guidelines and you have a principle, you have rules. When you played with Phillip Rivers, was that the exact same?
It was very much the same. The only quarterback I've played with that has been different is Tim Tebow. I've went into games and we're giving up. And we played New England Patriots in the second round of the playoffs in 2011. We're giving up 25-yard sacks. And people are looking at us like, oh, the offensive line needs to get better. They need to be doing a better job. Well, we don't know where he is. We don't have eyes in the back of our heads. We just know that, hey, this is what a pocket is supposed to look like. The guards in the center, keep it flat.
Right.
Tackles, run those guys up the field and keep your body in between them and the quarterback. And that's what you think is going to be happening. You think that Tebow has had this nice pocket, but all of a sudden he's drifting. He's trying to make a play
right
with his feet. All of a sudden, 20-yard sack.
Gotcha, man. I'll tell you what, this the offensive line, the running backs, and the receivers that were on the second team, they may feel like they just got an upgrade at the quarterback position.
I am telling you, there is a lot of people on that roster that's happy that Chad Kelly's the quarterback. You could tell even from the game last week when Paxton Lynch was done for the night and Chad Kelly went in, and just the body language
right
of some of these players out there, that they were excited. They believed in him. Chad Kelly throws the touchdown to Lindsey. He's one of the first people in the end zone celebrating with his teammates. And that's what you want to see out of this quarterback position.
Right, and I am sitting in with Orlando Franklin. D-Max got the day off, and Orlando, man, it's been fun rolling with you, man. The realization that
I appreciate it.
Yeah, the realization that this team is taking a step forward. That didn't happen for me.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like that the team took a huge step forward. It felt more of the same from last year. The first third down of the game, it felt like it was going to go to Courtland Sutton no matter what, because number 14 was in there. He was at the bottom of your screen on the right side. He ran an out route, and Case Keenum had his mind made up that he was going to throw it to him no matter what. I mean, I think they were just trying to get it going with the young guy on the first third down. I don't think that's the case when we are going to be lining up in games that really count. I don't look at the offense like I'm really worried. I look at the defense like I'm worried because our gap control wasn't there. It wasn't a case of they were more physical than us. It was more of a case than that they were, when I say they, the Minnesota Vikings knew where they wanted to go and how to get there, and we didn't know how to defend against it. They weren't more physical than us. They weren't faster or none of those things. But we showed a weakness in the run game that I haven't seen in a long time around here, and also the ability to recognize screen and get off the ball and make a play towards, you know, it showcased that when we blitz people, man, we better be better than good in our coverage. We better be great, especially when it comes to the screen game, because it feels like that every time the Minnesota Vikings wanted to get us on the screen play, they did all but one time, and I'm talking about for huge yardage.
And I think that comes with the snaps and just the repetition. I mean, and the ability to go into a game and actually game plan against the team that you're playing against. I mean, I feel like everything's kind of up in the air in that first preseason game. You don't know what you're going to get, but they do need better gap control. As far as the recognition of, hey, this is a screen, I think that comes with the more plays you play.
But, I mean, it almost feels like that every time we get into an obvious pass situation, that we are going to be in man-to-man or we're going to bring some kind of pressure. So
historically, that's what this defense has been about.
Right, right. And that's a problem. I think that's a problem. Because,
I mean, you don't have the same guys.
Yes, because
no-fly zone is it really the no-fly zone right now?
I don't think they're calling it that.
Yeah.
I don't think they're calling it that. They cannot be. I mean, you lost T.J. Ward. You lost Aqib Talib. You know, that is not the – I mean, and number 41 is sitting out there at Yadam. And the first third down, Kirk Cousins goes right at him. gets the first third down, and away you go. And then a touchdown was thrown at him, I mean, on a quick slant route on the goal line. So, I mean, this team is going to – you know, there are a couple of positions. Like, we always talk about the quarterback position because it's the sexy position on this team. But when you really consider the things that could go wrong for us, I think that we have a special player in Phillip Lindsay at running back, a guy that we haven't seen around here in a long time. I also think that D'Angelo is going to be good. Washington is going to be good, okay?
Yeah.
I think that he looks like a different player. When we start talking about guys that can make a difference on this team, we may be in a serious situation where we may have to go out and get a third corner as well. Forget about all that sexy talk at the backup quarterback. Let's talk about somebody who's going to play 70% call it 75% of the defensive plays, a third cornerback, and Yadam is...
He's not the answer right now.
He's young. And
that's what me and John were talking about this weekend. I mean, you got DRC out there. Why not go get a guy like that?
And you know, Dominique Rogers Cromartie, man, he means the world to me as a defensive back. You think that he's lost something? Last year was a crazy year with the Giants.
It's training camp. Let him come in here and compete. That's what it's all about. Let's compete and choose the best 53 guys for this roster. Because as of right now, I'm looking at 41. You had him this past week, and if I'm Chicago, I'm going at him this week again. And then when we play the Redskins in a couple, I'm going at him also. Until he proves that he could be a quality player in this league, you got to go at him.
Well, Roby gave up a big play, too, in the past game. I mean, it's just not the same. This man-to-man concept, this heavy pressure concept that we have had in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I almost feel like it's an old school, look, bend but don't break defense. Instead of all the action, we're going to force all the action. I don't believe that we need to be in a position where we put our cornerbacks in a must-win situation where they have to win in order for us to have a good defense. I think I'm okay with a bend and break defense this year from this unit because it just doesn't feel like we have top-end elite corners outside of Chris Harris and Bradley Roby.
And I believe that 100%. So maybe I think what the Broncos should do, they should not blitz as much.
Right.
Because of the simple fact that you have a Von Miller, a Shane Ray, a Shaq Barrett.
Yes.
You have a Bradley Chubb. And then that young Holland is coming along. You have all these different pass rushers. You don't need to blitz. Because when Von gets tired, hey, let's roll. You're in, Shane Ray.
Right.
When Chubb gets tired, hey, let's get in there, Shaq, and just keep those guys as fresh as possible, and that way you do not have to blitz on those obvious passing situations, and you just keep those defensive ends as fresh as possible to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's going to be something that we discover this year in training camp that in years past, it just seems like we knew who we were. I mean, this defense has been dominant since you were playing here, and you guys have had – Super Bowl runs while you were here, and they won Super Bowl 50, and this feels like that's not what we're talking about right now.
It
feels like
the showcase that they just put on Saturday, we're not talking about a Super Bowl
team. Because what we just saw on the other side was a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, you saw a team that was one game out of it playing the Super Bowl.
That's a Super Bowl team.
Better.
Right.
And they came in with something to prove.
Right.
And I don't think that's what the Broncos did not do. I don't think that they didn't show it with the first unit. I mean, you're talking about 2-3 and outs on offense. You're talking about the defense giving up all these yards. They didn't come out with, hey, yeah, last year we were 5-11. They didn't come out with
that
attitude.
They looked like they were 5-11.
Yeah.
Last Saturday.
Yeah. They didn't come out with that attitude like, hey, new year, new team. They did not.
So I am looking forward to seeing what this practice looks like with the Chicago Bears. Now, the Chicago Bears are an interesting group because they're a team that didn't finish well last year either.
Yep.
But with that, we'll start seeing the second team and the third team get more reps that count this week against quality competition. Are you worried about our starting quarterback?
No, I'm not. Because here's why I'm not worried about Case Keenum. I feel like Case needs to get in a rhythm. His whole career, the first preseason of the first preseason game, he's never been told, "Hey, you're only going to play 5 to 8 snaps today."
That's true.
So I feel like he came in. He's going against his former team. I felt like it has to do a little bit with nerves. So when the season starts now, and he knows that, hey, I'm the guy, this is how much I'm going to play, he's going to be able to calm down a little bit. Because, hey, I get the feeling that Case wanted to do just so good that he was just a little bit frazzled out there personally. And that was because of the fact, not because of the fact that, hey, he cannot play in this league, but solely because of the purpose that he was only going to play a limited amount of reps on Sunday and on Saturday. And he's never been, that's never happened in his career.
You know, something big happened in that game that it was small, but it was big. Von Miller was told all week that he was going to play. And right before the game, he was told that he was not going to play. And that came from upstairs. Is that a big deal? Should we look into that? Like, who's running this team? Is this a is Elway saying who plays and doesn't play? Because
at the end of the day, he's the one that has the last call. I mean, I've always thought that.
But that was always the right call, right? Why does Von Miller need to play against the Minnesota Vikings in the first preseason game of the year?
He does not need to. I would play him this week, and I would probably only play him the first quarter.
Why would you need to play him if you're going to practice him this week?
I just wanted to. Yeah, that's true also. They actually do practice against them. So you don't really need to play him. But that third game, he needs to be in that third game. And the reason why Big Al needs to be in that third game, he just needs to get back doing it. As far as, hey, we're going to practice. We're going to go in the first quarter, the second quarter. We're going to get back into the routine of going in at halftime and then coming back out there and getting after it again.
You know, I am I'm happy that the Denver Broncos didn't just go status quo and keep their first-round quarterback at second team. He's actually the third team.
That was a big move.
It was a huge move.
For them to finally do it.
That was a huge move. Something that I have to commend the Broncos on doing it. I think the fan base around here, you guys have spoken loud and clear. And it's done. It's done. Paxton Lynch is relegated to the third team. I want to hear from you now. 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043. That's our RamosLaw.com text line. And I'm telling you, you get the floor when we come back, because there's nothing like a party around here, and you guys are the party starters. Our training camp 2018 coverage is brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink, the more natural, better sports drink, available on sale now at King Soopers.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering training camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
You know, I just got to approach every day the same, whether it's a game, whether it's a practice, and kind of going out there at the game. I mean, I was rolling through practice-like plays, and that was kind of the mentality I had going into the game. I really didn't think about the game too much, but going out there, guys executed. Guys knew where the mic point was and who the will was and what the reads were to be able to get to that point for us to make plays. And like I said, we got to all get better, me included, everybody. And that's the only way we can get better is be ready for September 9th.
Chad Kelly. That was Chad Kelly, our reserve quarterback, number 2. I'm going to get right to you, fellas, because this is your team, man. This is what you do every day. This is how you love to celebrate in the fall with a Denver Bronco victory. So we're going to start it off with Brian. Brian, you're next on the fan. What's going on with you, B?
Hey, Al, you in Orlando, I got the best respect for both of you guys, all right?
Well, I appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. A lot, Brian. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So what I was going to say is, you know, here we are. We're going to abandon this whole thing with Paxton Lynch. We already know how this plays out. This is for the fans all over. We already know. But I got to tell you, when you see Kelly going out there, and he is as quick and as
accurate,
desirable as we want, We were watching Chad Kelly go out there and make those plays. And you know what? It's his first time out there. And that kid actually made it happen. I got to tell you, I was more enthused by watching our backup quarterback than anything else. Although I understand how it goes when we got that first team, second team, third team. And you know what? He'll get his chance. And so I don't want to hear about any Teddy Bridgewater, blah, 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 until we actually get there. Let's give him a shot next week and see what he does.
Appreciate the phone call, Brian. Appreciate the phone call, man. That is good. That is good. That is good. Wow. Okay. Don't want to hear about somebody else.
I like that insight, yeah, though, because here's the thing. That's what a lot of people don't realize. That was Chad Kelly's first NFL game. You know what I mean? And I feel like he could only get better from here on in.
But I tell you what, this phone line is going nuts here. 303-713-1043 is the phone line. The RamosLaw.com text line is the same, 303-713-1043. I tell you what, let's go to Frank, man. Frank is on, and he's got his two cents about Paxton Lynch and what's going on. What's going on with you, Frank?
How's it going, Al?
Man, I'm good, man. This is a surprise, man, for all of us around here. We kind of knew what was supposed to happen. We just didn't think it would.
Right. My only question is, do you feel that, or do you think that by the Broncos holding on to Paxton Lynch for such a long time, that it causes problems in the locker room? Because it seems that he doesn't earn anything and earn playing time, but things are handed to him and he doesn't take advantage of it.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Appreciate it, Frank. Go ahead. Oh, I'll give you that one.
I don't think it causes anything in the locker room. We all understand that, hey, this guy was a first-round pick. A lot of money is guaranteed. I mean, this to be a GM in this league, it's like playing chess. You got $160 million, and you got to find out how all this money needs to be divided out and who you need to pay and what guys need to get what. So I don't think it becomes any issues in the locker room. I think, if anything, guys are just ecstatic right now that the fact that Chad Kelly's going to get an opportunity over a guy that the Broncos, no matter what, has to pay this big money to.
Mm. Sounds ridiculous that we are going to move our first-round quarterback to the third.
Had to happen, though.
I'll tell you what, man. Third on the depth chart is like nobody wants to be there, and especially not a guy going into his third year. John, you're next on the fan. What's going on with you, John?
Hey, Al. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
And, you know, I got to beg to differ with Brian there on not looking at another quarterback for backup. You know, I agree Chad Kelly did great, but there are people out there that are available. You know that the odds are that the starter's going to get hurt at some point. So are you really willing to go with just Chad Kelly and – frankly, Paxton Lynch, you know, John Elway should have bitten the bullet with him last year, maybe even before that. I'm new to the area. I was living in Philly last year. And
good for you.
Yeah. I was going to say Nick Foles. You know, I don't know what his contract situation
is. Oh, man, his price tag is way too high.
Appreciate the phone call, John. That scenario is the greatest scenario that you can have. But there is another one like that. You know, I mean,
who are you going to give up? You got to give up a ton to get Nick Foles over here.
Oh, no, not Nick Foles. But we can look at guys who have played snaps in the league, who's had a little bit of success. How about Matt Moore, who's sitting out there in free agency? You can always bring him in here. That guy doesn't require a whole lot of snaps to understand what's going on.
I want a guy here that can win football games, and Matt Moore is not a guy that's winning football games.
Well, what do you want to give up a guy like Shane Ray to go get Teddy Bridgewater?
I would. If Holland continues to get better, absolutely.
Okay, Holland had a big day, a sack and limited play. I think it was the only sack that – it was his first sack of his young NFL career, but – that was a clear win for him. Jeff Holland, I think, is going to make this football team.
If he continues to develop, why not trade a guy like Shane Ray? Now, if Jeff Holland continues to develop and he makes this football team, you're talking about there's five pass rushers here.
Five, and that is so unusual. Just so that Yeah. We're talking the same language. That is so unusual to have five guys at one position.
Look at back in the day, you had a Lawrence Taylor, one pass rusher. That's all you knew about, right?
Right.
I mean,
you don't have a guy opposite
Reggie White.
Him. Right.
That's all you know about.
Right.
Like you don't
to have DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. That's unusual.
Yeah, see more and more teams get into nowadays.
Right. Right. But the backup quarterback has been announced. It's going to be Chad Kelly. T, man, what would you do? Would you go out and find somebody else, or would you just roll with it just like it is with the young Chad Kelly? Go ahead, T, you're next on the Fan.
Yeah, man, I would roll with Chad Kelly and look into the possibility of what you can do to get Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's very underrated as far as what he can do. So I would like to have Teddy Bridgewater on this team. And I just was so not in agreement with getting rid of Tlaib. We should have kept Tlaib. Roby is not that guy. He is not a lockdown corner. Mm. Awesome at third cornerback. But we need to bring in a DRC to be our number two or number one cornerback.
Wow.
Not a number three quarterback. Send Roby back to number three.
Appreciate the phone call,
that's all
T.
I got to say.
You got it, baby. Wow.
I want
DRC. I think I was the first one to say bring DRC back here, a bigger corner that can handle those lengthy receivers. But you know, Bradley Roby's on a 5th-year extension,
and you got to give him an opportunity too. That was a first round pick, also. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
and it's really worked out pretty good.
Yeah, he's played up to his potential when he has been in the role. But that's what the thing right now. Can he be the guy full time? Is the issue, and we haven't seen him have to be the guy full time week after week. Yeah, you see him go in if Chris Harris goes down or for a couple plays or a couple series, but he hasn't been a guy that's got 1,000 snaps on a defense
right
in his career yet.
Okay, Reed, man, talk to me, man.
So
talk to me.
The Broncos need to cut Lynch, eat the dead money. They need to go find a quarterback that has 20 plus starts in the NFL.
Okay,
that can be a good backup. And I like Kelly, but you know what? If he ran like that against a first-team defense, he would have gotten killed. He would have got lit up. And he's got to stop that. He's going to be – I'm telling you, I know it's nice to go get a first down every once in a while, but he seemed to run a little too much for my liking on Saturday night.
Appreciate the phone call, Reed.
I mean, he ran the ball 3 times, though.
But
it broke down. The protection broke down. Nobody was open. At some point, it's either he's going to throw the ball away or he's going to go try to get some yards with his legs.
And on top of that, he said to scrap Trevor Siemian. I think he meant scrap Paxton Lynch.
No, he basically just described Trevor Siemian and what the Broncos are looking for in a veteran backup.
No, we don't. We don't need
a veteran quarterback that has 20 plus starts in the NFL.
Trevor, but you said you need a winner.
Games.
You need a winner.
Yeah.
Trevor's 13.
We need a Matt Schaub is what we
Trevor
need.
Trevor's 13 and 11 is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, I guess
we
that
need
counts then.
Teddy Bridgewater.
We need, in my opinion, Teddy Bridgewater, or we need an RG3. You know that they're not going to keep RG3 there in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson.
I just the more attractive person would be Teddy Bridgewater for me.
Mm.
I mean, RG3 has not done anything the past couple years. I mean,
he's been out of football.
I think he's been out of football last year also, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been out of football. He's back, but he looks great. Let's continue to monitor that one, man, because don't look at me like that. I mean, what's that for?
My only issue is,
man, you gave me that look like, what? I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. We'll be right back on the other line. 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043 on the RamosLaw.com text line. And don't forget, man, our Training Camp 2018 coverage is brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink, the more natural, better sports drink, available now on sale at all your King Supers. We'll be right back on the other
Delicious.
Side.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Alan D-Mac.
Well, you know, obviously Chad, I mean, Chad's a young player. You know, this is Chad's first time playing ball in 2 years. You know, so we got to be patient with Chad. You know, obviously you want a guy who can go into the game and operate the offense, right, and not beat his own football team. you know, but also have the confidence to make some plays and lead our unit. You know, so far, Chad has done those things. So, you know, he's earned the right to be our two at the moment.
That's Vance Joseph, the head football coach of our Denver Broncos. Chad Kelly, third place. Let's get back to the phone lines. 303-713-1043 is our RamosLaw.com phone number.
And operate the offense, right? And not beat his own football team.
Wow, that's a strong statement. Play that again, Big Sexy, please.
And operate the offense, right? And not beat his own football team.
So basically he was saying that
you need a quarterback that's going to go out there and not hurt
your team.
So you need to be able to make these right throws.
So
and if you're not able to make the right throw down the field, at least be able to dump the ball off to
not
the
hurt our football team. Was he saying that Paxton was hurting his football team?
I mean, after you watched Saturday night,
I'm asking you. It sounded like he wanted somebody who wasn't hurting the football team, and it sounded like Paxton was hurting the football team.
He wasn't getting it done. Therefore, he was hurting the team.
Mm. Let's get to it. Jay, you're next on the fan. What's going on with you, Jay?
Hey, man. How are you guys doing today, Big Al?
Man, super, man.
Hey, I just love the show. A couple things I want to say. First and foremost, man, it was absolutely awesome to see that orange on Saturday night.
It was, wasn't it?
It was. It was beautiful.
And no controversy surrounding it either, though. I'll just leave it at that. It was nice and clean.
It was. Second, just real quick. The body language, man. As soon as Paxton goes out there on the field, you can just feel it. Not just within his teammates, man. The crowd, everybody just feels it. Like, what are we expecting to see? And then as soon as Kelly came in, you saw the morale of not only the crowd, but his teammates, man. Over on the sideline, you see the teammates come up and giving Kelly knuckles and slapping him in the helmet. That you can see that his teammates, he's got the respect of his teammates, and that goes a long way, man. And it was beautiful to see, and I don't think we need to go anywhere else. I think we stick with Kelly, his demeanor, his passion, his drive to want to make this squad and make it better. It's there, and that'll go a long way. Last thing, and I'll hang up, is what about our linebackers? What are we going to do about that? I'm concerned about it. Looks like even our starting linebackers, man, they're getting beat up. Can you guys talk to me about what you guys see there and potentially what are we going to do to fix that if you think we need to fix it?
Appreciate it, Jay. All right.
Take care.
Jay, our linebackers had a terrible game. Our inside linebackers had a terrible game.
No.
When you look at our fits in the run game, Bradley Chubb had a terrible fit on the big run from Murray early in the game. He was supposed to be in the D gap. Okay, the gap between tight end. They had a wing formation, and we got gashed right in the gap where the rookie is supposed to be. That's an assignment issue. We could take care of that. The other issues with the linebackers stepping up into to our run fits, it was awful. Okay, it was awful. We looked like a team that wasn't physical, that's unlike us. My man, Brandon Marshall did not have a great game. That's going to change, okay? I believe in that guy. He's the right guy for the right reason. He's been making these plays around here in Denver for a lot of years. That was uncharacteristic. That team was better than us, without a doubt. Without a doubt, that team was better than us, and it looked like it on Saturday. Let's get back to the phone lines and get back and talk to Christine. Christine, you're next.
Hi, Big Al. Hi, Orlando. How you doing? I'm so happy, Orlando, you're on the station.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I really enjoy listening to you Saturday and also now. But, you know, my head tells me we really, first of all, just cut tax and put the kid out of his misery. You can't be happy about it. Second of all, you know, I fully expected, like, SEC street ball out of Chad Kelly. And then I watched him Saturday, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's actually extending pocket play. Look at that kid. Because the film that I saw of him in college was straight SEC, you know, street ball. And that kid might actually be a pro quarterback. Holy cow. What have we got here?
I appreciate the phone call. I think what we have here is a kid whose uncle is a Hall of Famer and has taught him the nuance of playing the quarterback position.
Especially when he got to this level. I mean, you're talking about him being hurt last year. So I'm sure he's had many conversations with his uncle over this past year on just how to make that jump into an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, all of this conversation and talk that we've had with Paxton Lynch over the last, you know, three off seasons, you know, because you got to count the off season before the guy actually gets here has been about who has he been hanging out with, who has been his coach, who has been the person who's led him in his journey to be an NFL quarterback. Well, with Chad Kelly, Jim Kelly has been that guy. I mean, Hall of Fame quarterback. So, yeah, I think Christine, I think we are on to something. And with that, I'm going to give Richard the last word today. What's going on with you, Rich?
Make that jump into
an NFL. Oh, we can, I guess we can hear ourselves.
Okay.
You okay there?
Is that better? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. You got the last word for the day.
Hey, give Chad Kelly a shot. Mr. Irrelevant, he's not, you know, Tim Tebow. He's not, you know, any of these other quarterbacks that we've had backing us up. Give the kid a shot. He can only succeed from here.
Appreciate the phone call, man.
And he's got the opportunity. I mean, it just came out today, right?
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
Because I care about this team, too. Now, I asked the fellas to call. We got... Yeah. Some of the ladies to call. We got some of the fellas to call. But I'm going to be 100% honest about my opinion.
Okay.
We need a quarterback here that can win games when the quarterback goes down.
Yeah.
I don't know if Chad Kelly can be that guy. I hope he is, but I don't want to gamble like that with my money. Would you gamble like that, or would you go out there and find a veteran?
It depends for me. It just depends on this week. He's going to get a lot of reps against the Chicago Bears this week. In practice, in the game.
I think I like the way that you just said that, because you said we'll get reps that count this week against another team.
Yeah.
And then you'll get another game for evaluation. That's got to be huge
in this whole process. To improve, if he improves on what he did last week against the Minnesota Vikings this week, you got to kind of roll with him.
He should have better talent to work with, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, he does have better talent. He has an offensive line that, hey, these guys have played a lot of football. They understand the game now. I mean, there's going to be less communication and trying to get these receivers lined up and stuff like that. He's going to have people that just understand football a little bit better in this second group. So I think if he's able to improve and build off of what he did last week, you got to give him a chance, Big Al. You can't just be like, hey, we need to go get another guy at that point. But if he goes out there and he doesn't look good, yeah, you got to get on that phone right now and figure out.
For my main man, Orlando Franklin, I got to give you some dap, man. Appreciate you, Big O.
Appreciate it.
And, of course, Brian, Big Sexy. And, of course, my main man, Kyle Berry, the Strawberry Man. I'm Big Al, man. Thank you guys so much for rolling with us. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 on the Drive. Come check us out right now on Facebook Live.